hospital readiness during these terrible mass casualty situations. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. After Sunday night's shooting in Las Vegas, emergency responders rushed hundreds of people to hospitals. At least two of the hospitals had emergency rooms set up to treat mass casualties. But most hospitals in the country are built to provide elective, predictable care. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein has been looking into this.
Sunday night, victims started showing up.
For quite a while, we got gunshot wounds in droves.
Surgeon Deborah Cools is director of the Trauma Intensive Care Unit at University Medical Center in Las Vegas. The hospital brought in extra staff and doubled its operating rooms. They ended up with more help than necessary.
I would much rather be in that situation than the other situation. Maybe having somebody die that I just couldn't take to the operating room. That did not happen.
Cools says hospitals in Southern Nevada drill for mass trauma events like this several times a year. Those efforts are financially supported by the Federal Hospital Preparedness Program. It's too soon to evaluate the region's response, but Dr. Nicole Lurie, who oversaw the federal program under President Obama, says some hospitals are more prepared than others.
Most Americans believe that the emergency care system is going to be there for them when they need it. I don't think they realize that most places could do better.
Funding for hospital preparedness has been cut by more than half since 2004. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Checking the live markets, the 100-share index in London is up 0.1%. U.S. index futures are up slightly, plus 27 points for the Dow future. The euro is up at $1.17.5. The credit reporting company Equifax is revising the number of customers whose personal info was exposed to hackers, revised upward by 2.5 million to a total of 145.5 million, 45% of all people in America. Richard Smith, the former CEO of Equifax, will spend 3 days testifying on Capitol Hill starting this morning, Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
When this Mr. Smith goes to Washington, he'll get a grilling from lawmakers. But will their indignant questions be followed by legislation that could help prevent another huge hack like this? Mike Litt with U.S. PIRG is hopeful. He says Democrats have introduced a number of bills, including one that would mandate free credit freezes.
Protecting consumers is not a left-right issue. It's a little guy, big guy issue. And so really, Congress should step up.
Except that it probably won't. Edwin Groshans of Height Securities says Republicans haven't signed on to any of the Democrats' bills or introduced any of their own. And
given that the Republicans control the House and the Senate, partisan bills are not going to make it through either chamber.
Groshans says there's just too much partisanship, with Democrats worried about consumers and many Republicans balking at things like free freezes because they don't want the credit reporting business to completely dry up. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Remember when you'd get hot under the collar at an airport or a hotel when the ATM charged you $3 extra? A new survey from Bankrate shows that using an ATM that's not your bank is now averaging $4.69, up 2.6% from last year. One option for you is moving to Australia. Last week, under pressure, the big banks in Australia agreed to end all of these fees for out-of-network transactions. Reporters use the term beat calls when we check in with sources on our beat. There's an ongoing survey of teens, 20 and 30-somethings, millennials, that does extra diligence to make sure that people of color are in the sample. The latest data are in. The University of Chicago's Kathy Cohen is founder of this Gen Forward survey. Professor, good morning.
Thanks so much for having me.
So your latest survey, the research, asked millennials about their attitudes surrounding education. Let's start with the college part first. I think most people agree college can be or is expensive. But a more interesting question, right, is do people think it's worth it? Is it worth it? What do you find?
We find a split based on race and ethnicity. In particular, majorities of Asian American and Latinx millennials say that college is necessary for success. But majorities of African American and whites say, in fact, that there are kind of many ways to succeed today without a college education. So there's a race and ethnic split that I think we want to pay attention to.
by race. What could possibly account for that?
Well, I think, for example, if we take the case of African Americans, quite often these young adults live in communities where access to college is not guaranteed and, in fact, can be difficult, both in terms of cost and also in terms of their own kind of preparation from educational systems. And so they have seen individuals in their communities find other ways to succeed. In fact, it's been a necessity.
You think that's also at work with the white respondents who also thought that, you know, college is important, but not maybe supremely important?
The data tells us, in fact, that whites are more likely to get a job with just a high school education than some African Americans with a college degree. Certain young whites may look around and say, look, my father and mother were able to succeed in terms of success being a job that put food on the table, and they didn't have access to a college education. It's coming from different positions in terms of privilege and access, but I think it's informed by one's lived experience.
Yet Latino millennials are a little bit more persuaded that college is important.
Latinx and Asian Americans, and here it might be a question of what does success look like. So getting a job, especially a basic job, may not guarantee success. And so success in that case is facilitated by a college education.
Kathy Cohen is a poli-sci professor at the University of Chicago and founder of this ongoing survey, Gen Forward. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Cohen used the term Latin with the letter X on the end. It's a gender-neutral version of Latina, Latino. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.